Hi, everybody. Welcome to Domain Sherpa. Thank you for tuning in to the podcast with the best domain name and digital asset content in the world. Today's episode is a Sherpa short titled Winds of Change featuring Drew and August Piao from Escrow.com, who's appearing on the show for the first time to talk about the 2025 Q2 Escrow.com Domain Investment Index. So on today's show, we talk about the report, some domain trends, the size of the domain aftermarket, and of course, .AI domain sales. We also hear about how August first got started in the space and what are some of the plans and features coming up on escrow.com. All that and more is coming up on today's show. And remember, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, you can also watch the video version at domainsherpa.com and on our YouTube channel at ds.tv. You can also listen to the shows on Apple and Spotify and other podcast platforms as well. So please make sure to hit the like button and the subscribe button and all that good stuff everywhere that you can and help Domain Sherpa grow the pie. We also integrate our shows with Muse.ai, which provides search functionality for the shows and transcripts as well. And big shout out to Unstoppable Domains, the only ICANN accredited registrar that lets you trade DNS domains on chain and access crypto investors. With 3% commissions, at cost renewals, and hundreds of resellers soon to be integrated, they're a cutting edge marketplace you need to know about and use to get more sales and keep your costs down. Unstoppable can save you thousands in registration costs. They've got $5.com Fridays and $5 off all transfers in. No promo code required. And also, big shout out to escrow.com. Here at Media Options, we've relied on escrow.com for years. They've handled some of our biggest deals, including 7 and 8 figure transactions. We use their specialized domain services because they understand domains. As the largest online licensed and audited escrow operator, escrow.com is fast, secure, and accountable with workflows built specifically for domains. Whether you're buying your first domain or closing $1 million deals, they protect buyers and sellers around the world from fraud while ensuring smooth transfers every time. Escrow.com, domain deals done right. And also, big shout out to our own business, Media Options, the number one domain brokerage in the world. Find out more at MediaOptions.com, where you can also sign up for our newsletter for the best domain opportunities available in the market every week, and also featuring key insights and other helpful information related to branding, naming, and domain investing. Last but not least, we've got a couple upcoming domain conferences to mention. NamesCon Global coming up November 5th and 6th in Miami. Go to namescon.com for more information and to register. Use coupon code DS20 to get 20% off the ticket price. And on the topic of domain conferences, we got the ICA annual member meeting coming up January 15th to the 17th at the Park MGM in Las Vegas. Go to ica.vegas for more information, and we'll see everybody there as well. All right, with all of that, it's now time to get into this episode of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. What's up, Sherpa Network? Thank you for tuning in today. My name is Jonathan Tenenbaum, a.k.a. JT, a.k.a. J-On, a.k.a. Sherpa Winfrey, the host and producer of Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Today's episode is a Sherpa short, where we pick a domain topic or two to get into, and we dig into it. Sometimes we bring on a special guest or two, and today is no different. Today, we're actually going to dig into the Escrow.com Q2 2025 Domain Investment Index. So the quarterly report that Escrow does, and we've got a special guest here to talk about that, and I'll get into that. But you can access the report at escrow.com on their domains page where they have the other quarterly reports. We'll also have it linked in the show notes. So let's get to it. Over to my right, let me introduce my boy, the one and only Andrew Rosner, a.k.a. Morpheus, a.k.a. the Dirk Diggler of Digital Assets, a.k.a. Bob Lee Swagger, the Sniper, a.k.a. Drew. Drew got what I need, a.k.a. never going to give Drew up, get Rick Roll, Greybeard, the Domain Pirate. What's up, man?
Oh, I'm feeling good. I'm starting to get back in my groove, back in my routine. I am a creature of habit, and being out of my habitual schedule messes me up something fierce. So I'm, I'm slowly getting back into my groove, and that is paying off in deals and in just getting things done. And trying to make sense of a lot of chaos.
Good luck with that.
I think that's about it. I'm going to introduce the world my new Timbaland spatula. No kid hungry. Shout out Timbaland. You know what I mean? Supporting the kids, the hungry kids. I like it.
Little spatula.
I'm gonna make some scrambled eggs and put it with my collectibles. You feel me?
Let's go.
That's it. That's what I got going on.
All right. Well, great. All right. Well, let me go ahead and introduce the special guest for the first time on the show. We've got August Piao, like meow, like AKA Right Meow, AKA Little Meow Meow, AKA August, September, October Meow, AKA Augustus Octavian Meow, AKA Augustus Caesar Meow, Senior Product Manager at Escrow.com based in Sydney, Australia, AKA Sydney Sweeney Meow. But he's going to talk about the investment report. I don't know if people know the meow meme thing, but, you know, Super Troopers and some other stuff, you know, when, like, they try to fit in the word meow in conversation to see if people notice, you know, so it's like that kind of thing. Anyway, what's up, dude? Welcome to the show. How you doing?
I'm great, JT.
Joke, you know it didn't land.
I mean, I'm explaining it for your sake because I think everybody else gets it, but you're so outside the scope of pop culture that sometimes I got to help you along. You know what I'm saying? So, meow.
I'm just going to love the energy. Just going to love the energy, JT.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I appreciate you being here, dude. So, first of all, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's an honor to be on this show. I'm a fan of the industry. You know, veterans like yourself, I love, you know, hearing your stories and just listening to how you operate and feel the vision. I feel the love. So I'm honored to be here. Thrilled.
Well, we appreciate it. Obviously, Escrow is an important partner of ours. They're a sponsor on the show. You know, we've got Sophia on our team now who came over from Escrow and is part of like that sort of transition. You know, you've stepped in. I mean, you've been there, but, you know, we are now dealing with you and interacting and interfacing with you a lot more. You know, we think you're great. We're excited about all the stuff that you've got going on and, you know, obviously the continued work that we're doing together. So let's talk about that a little bit. I mean, how did you get into, you know, Escrow, the domain space? Are you dealing with other sort of areas outside of domains at Escrow? Just give us a little bit about yourself before we get into the report.
Yeah, sure. So look, you know, I come from, you know, humble beginnings, you could say. Immigrant parents into Sydney, growing up here, you know, did the whole, you know, Asian kid thing, go get good marks, go to uni. And it came out, you know, trying to find my way through the world. And I worked through quite a few large corporate companies, you know, companies like Toyota, companies like, you know, large banks in Australia, Commonwealth Bank, and, you know, working on software systems, you know, make the world's digital commerce work, I guess is sort of the area that I worked in. And I was thrilled to join Escrow.com. And a bit like most people who sort of come into the domain name industry, like most people don't know too much about it. And I, to be honest, was one of those. And it's like just...
When you joined Escrow.com, did you realize that you were basically joining the domain industry? I mean, I know Escrow has quite a lot of business outside of domains as well, but I think it's you know, traditionally, that's really the core business for Escrow, no?
Yeah, look, I'll be honest. I did not know how deep the rabbit hole goes with the domain industry. And I'm loving the journey. Yeah, so I'm still a beginner. I'll admit that any day of the week. But like, it's a fantastic community, thriving community, great people. And look, I'm going to be attending, going to NamesCon later this year. So I'm very thrilled to actually meet, hopefully, a whole bunch of you guys face to face. But yes, so my eyes were sort of fully opened when I sort of joined and realized this whole domain name thing is absolutely massive and it's crazy and it's a roller coaster and it's going to the moon. So I'm keen to be on the journey and keen to support the industry. And yes, Escrow does, you know, a whole lot of other things. For secure payments, you know, domain names is obviously very big for us. Other industries that have, you know, similar needs, maybe things like mergers and acquisitions. People may be selling heavy machinery. Pretty much anything where trust is involved or required in a transaction, we try to step in and make that work. So. You can think of a lot of things where an escrow service, you know, may come, you know, be very valuable. So It keeps you very busy. But domain names is number one in my mind.
Yeah, for sure. Well, no, and I think it's great. And I think it's also great to put faces to names and faces to organizations. You know, Escrow is one of those kind of companies that, you know, so ubiquitous across the space that I think it's always good when you guys are present at, you know, the events and things like that, because you know, also it's important for people to see a little bit behind the scenes so they know there are human beings there that are working to make things work. And, you know, because it is such a crucial part of, you know, all these domain transactions and, you know, and you guys are such an important part of the space. So I think all that's fantastic, man. And it's great to have you in the mix. And so that's what's up. So, all right, well, cool, man. Look, so let's do this. Let's get into this report. We've got, you know, and, you know, we've done this on the show before. I know that, you know, some of the other, you know, domain publications, I know Domain Name Wire covers it. You know, it's your quarterly report. It's the Domain Investment Index. We are at Q2 2005. You guys have been doing this now for a few years. And also what I think is great is that you guys are very receptive to feedback, even on the report, right? Like we've asked for some specific things. We'll get into that. But, you know, I think that it's cool how it's sort of this evolving, living, breathing thing that, you know, obviously it's a resource and it's a great source of information. But, you know, great that you guys have been, you know, sort of willing to work with the folks in the space to continue to make it more and more useful. So I think that's awesome. So yeah, man. So with that, let's dive into it. So Drew or August, I mean, either one of you guys, like, do you want to lead with something that you think is an important sort of point, takeaway, observation from the data?
Look, I might start with something that's, you know, quite foundational to the space, and that's, you know, the steady appreciation of, you know, the core domain name space. You know, when we look at, say, the three letters, the four letters, the five letters, we're seeing that very healthy long-term steady growth, the long-term trend, you know, upwards to the right. And, you know, that's great to see. I think it's great for industry. That's great for having a stable, healthy environment for valuations for domain names. And we all know how great that is in terms of, you know, things that can be leveraged into the future around some of things like, you know, valuations driving financial services and raising capital and, you know, really using domain names as a true asset where you can leverage finance against it and things like that. So that all these things, I think, are really healthy and fantastic to see. And we're very glad to see that trend sort of continuing. And that's the sort of thing we want to support across the industry ongoing, is to make sure that, you know, we are there to provide that service and help make that, you know, a very stable economy all around for, you know, for that main basket of, you know, domain names.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, well, we see a 10% rise year over year, right? First half of last year versus first half of this year. You know, and, well, and you call it out the executive summary, so we might as well, you know, we might as well bring it up right off the bat. You know, you do mention the breakout story from this period being the .ai domain sales, right? Which set a new record at $4.5 million in Q2 2025. And, you know, which is up about $1 million from Q1, actually. So, Drew, do you have any thoughts? I know you have thoughts. You've always got thoughts.
I mean, I this was the part of the report. I started laughing when I read it, you know, because it's a little embellished, you know. It's in Q2 25, .ai domain names reached another all-time high as transaction volume rose from 3.48 million to 4.49 million, right? And, you know, yeah, it's another $1 million almost, exactly $1 million in transaction volume. But across the period of time where, if you were to ask the average domain investor, they would tell you that AI is like, you know, taking over the internet and, you know, all the opportunity. I see Andy Booth on X today and he's like, you know, it's confirmed. All the domain sales are AI now. And
all the experts have conceded.
Yeah. And I just laugh because it's like, guys, what pipe are you smoking? Look at the numbers. .ai is a fart in the wind. That's what it is. It's a fart in the wind. It doesn't matter. The combined total
or
sales
.ai.
Are $4.5 million. We sold one.com last week for more than that. So what does this mean? It means nothing. All you 483.ai maxis can go split your $1 million in sales increase. And you all can buy a six pack and a sandwich and, you know, toast and have a good time and pretend that you guys are freaking, you know, driving Lambos. But you're not. You're driving freaking you're driving a I don't even know whatever that was, that Russian potato field car. That's what you're driving. And if your portfolio consists of premium.com domain names that have longevity, low risk, and a, as we just discussed, constant 30-year track record of going up and to the right forever, you're driving a Ferrari. You're driving a Rolls. You know what I'm saying? You got cloud. You got that with that cloud suspension. You know what I mean? I am comfortable as fuck. I sleep beautifully. My domain names cost $10 a year to renew. I literally don't see it. I don't understand. I feel like I'm talking into a black hole and nobody's listening. And that's fine for me. My portfolio continues to outperform. I guarantee you, I put my numbers up against anybody else. I guarantee you we're outperforming. There may be one, two, three people who in any given time period may be able to say they outperformed. I doubt it. .AI doesn't matter is basically the point. It's great training wheels, as we discussed in the last episode. I have nothing against .AI. I have nothing against .co. I love everything. Honestly, everybody's all your .com maximus. I am pragmatic. That's what I am. I am agnostic, okay? I don't care. If I thought that there was a gold mine in .AI, I'd go buy up all the .AI domain names that I could find. But I don't. In fact, I know there isn't. There's a gold rush, but there's no gold there. It's just like there was a gold rush in the 1849 to California. Most of those people, they didn't find gold. You know what I mean? They ended up with ripped blue jeans, you know, cold in a river. They didn't get gold. And y'all going to end up with ripped blue jeans, cold in a river. But, so, no, anyways.
Yep. No. Hey, look, I hear you, you know.
And, I think he's very funny because even now, Escrow.com has got the bug. Escrow.com took the bait. You guys are running these in, you know, what was it? What
breakout is story. Breakout.
Yeah, where is that at? Because the way you wrote that is just great.
Well, there's the executive summary. It's in there.
No, the breakout story from this period is around .AI domain names, which set a new record of $4.5 million. It's like $4.5 million from a whole quarter.
And that's against.
This is my whole point. If you bought these names in 2017 and you're making a 1,000x return, God bless you. Congratulations. You were smart. You thought outside the box. You took risk. You're being rewarded for that risk. Congratulations. If you are somebody rushing into .AI domain names as an investor today, you're brain dead. Okay. I don't know what else to say to you. You're stupid.
How do you really feel?
And I don't mean that judgmentally. I'm trying to encourage people to just stop. Stop being stupid. Okay, you don't have to be stupid. Buying a domain name that has a $250 renewal fee is a liability. In most cases, 1% of registered .AI domain names are worth paying $250 a year long-term as an investor. So anyways, that's all I'm going to say on the matter. It's very funny. Escrow.com is now, you know, putting some fuel on the fire of lunacy on this .AI, you know, domain market. But I think it's great. All these idiots finding .AI domains will eventually upgrade to the .coms. It's fantastic. Our business will do better than ever. We do better. We're already doing better than everybody else. And so it's good. It's all good. All roads lead back to Rome. And we are Rome. Us in .com land.
I should look up whether escrow.ai is available.
Yeah, no, or far.ai.
I'm sure somebody has it and they want $14 million for it. And in 36 months, we'll be able to buy it for, I don't know, $5,000.
That's aggressive. It's aggressive. Here, I will make a couple quick points. So, yes, when you look at the... Wait, oh, go ahead.
I promise you, okay? The one thing I can tell you with extraordinarily high confidence, moment that the VCs say, oh, this was just noise and not signal, meaning, oh, you have a good .AI domain name. You must be an AI company. The moment that the VCs realized that that was noise and not signal, and they stopped funding companies because they have a mandate from their LPs to just dump all the fund as fast as humanly possible into innovative new AI startups, the party's over. Okay. And that party's over in the next 6 to 12 months, in my opinion. I could be totally wrong. And .AI domain names could double in the next quarter. We could go to 8 million. And I still won't give a fuck. Because it's only $8 billion, the total market share for the quarter. Who cares? Who cares?
Oh, man. All right. Noted. I will say you're right. I mean, look, it's 4.5 million of 90 million, right? So it's a, you know.
I won't say names because he says he's going to publicly come out and when the deal transaction, you know, whatever, closes, doesn't close, I don't know, whatever. I didn't really care. But he reached out literally about 2 hours ago and he said, when you're right, you're right. And you were right. This is actually on a completely different matter, but this was also a very controversial topic that I got beat up on X about. And I told him, I said, look, I'm not smarter than your average bear. Okay. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not, but it's not brain power that's allowing me to see these extrapolations of where we're going. It's just time in the market and selling names. If you've sold as many names as I have, you just get a feeling for what sells and for what price and what's a dud. There's a lot of things out there that are just duds. And there's very inherent reasons why domains sell for big prices. And I tell you, with the exception of maybe a dozen .AI domains, they fail the tests. So anyways, by the way, escrow.ai is available for 75 grand. You guys love AI, so why should you buy that?
That's a solid price.
It's actually not a bad deal.
I think that AI, I've said it, is an alternative to comm. I mean, it's having its moment. There's definitely opportunities there. The folks that bought in early are obviously getting the benefit of it now. 4.5 million, you know, it's only 5% of the overall sales at escrow. But I want to play devil's advocate for a second, because it's not like, you know, there are a lot of the domain sales happen at escrow, but not all the sales happen there, right? You have the stuff happening at Space. You have the stuff happening at Spaceship. You have the stuff happening at Afternic. You have the stuff happening on Dynadot. Like, so, you know, there and other. So is it possible that there's a disproportionate amount of AI?
Everybody that I've ever seen analyze the market. Okay. We're talking about GoDaddy, Sado, Escrow. Steven Lieberman did it. We attempted a few years ago to really go deep into trying to understand what's the size of the domain name aftermarket. Pretty much everybody lands on the same number, and that is somewhere between $1.5 and $3 billion. And so the right number is probably around two, maybe, you know, it's probably $2 billion. It's probably a $2 billion domain aftermarket.
Is that annual?
Right now, okay. That's domain selling for $50, and that's domain selling for $50 million. Okay, so it's a very big spectrum. That includes auctions, that includes brokers, that includes, you know, buy it now on landing pages, that includes, you know, just straight credit card payments, that includes escrow, that, you know. So if we take that as fact, and so escrow represents 20% of that market. Then, and we know GoDaddy, GoDaddy is roughly the same in terms of aftermarket sales. I might have those numbers off. You know, I'm doing this on memory. In my memory, ain't that great.
We had somebody like that I could yell to off camera that I'm like, hey, can you check?
Where's our guy? Where's Jamie? We need Jamie. maybe Namecheap Spaceship is 5%. Something like that, right? And that sounds about right. It's probably roughly accurate. So again, what does it mean? It means nothing. It means nothing, right? It means maybe Namecheap spaceship adds 500,000 to $1 million in .ai sales if an overwhelming large number of their sales are .ai, which may be because I know Richard has quite a portfolio. They have an owned and operated portfolio of .ai domains. And so it very well could be that they have an excessive amount of .ai domain sales. But again, it's just look at the total addressable market. You're talking about all in combined, super ambitious numbers would be like $20 million in domain sales. Like, okay, you know, that's roughly what the number two domain broker might do, right? Okay. In a good year.
Well, so doing a little bit of grokking, that's what I'm calling it. It looks like GoDaddy, 128 million, maybe Q1, 20, you know, so like you said, equivalent.
Yeah, so I wasn't off. I said roughly equivalent.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's fair. And, but again, I guess my point is saying, you know, and that's something we don't know, and maybe Richard will pine it to it. I saw that DARPin, said something about, hey, if this early September,
no, look, I love DARPin. I think DARPin shares incredible amounts of knowledge. They offer a gateway for someone to make a purchase somewhere between 80 and 95% of the demand. And I believe it's closer to 95%. Is inbound, they land a domain, and they're just looking to see if it's for sale. And if it's got an Adam lander, a Sato lander, an Afternic lander, it's more or less roughly the same. I think Afternic gets an advantage. My hat tips to Afternic simply because of the GoDaddy brand recognition. And that's it. And I think everybody else, 2% of their business matters because it's 2% that comes in and says, maybe it's 5, that comes in and says, let me do a search. Help me with your tools. Let me find a name. That's 2 to 5%. Everybody else already knows what name they want. And then they go and they land on it. And then they either need to hire a broker to find out who owns it. They make contact directly. They have a buy it now link. They have a make offer, or they fill out a form. That's it. That's how this industry works. And I have always wanted to believe that it was more sophisticated than that. There were things you could do to improve, but it's very marginal. I think that all the things that are currently being done are marginal in terms of increasing sales through sell-through rate. And I think that it's the names that sell themselves. And so really just having a very seamless, trusted way to check out on a name. I think really putting a buy it now price versus having make an offer, contact me is really the only thing you can do to increase sales. Because you capture a whole market of buyer that doesn't otherwise buy. And that is the impulse buyer that is showing up and buying a name between $500, $250, and, you know, $25,000. They can put it on a credit card, make a one-time payment, buy the name, or get into a payment plan on LTO, whatever it might be. Everything else, it's very marginal. Totally, totally, totally marginal. And so, again, coming back, who is DARPin? What is DARPin? DARPin, Adam.com is, again, it's not an insult. I think they're doing amazing things for our industry, and the data they're sharing is important, but it's a fart in the wind, okay? DARPin is selling in an entire year what we sell in 1 or 2 months, okay? It's people don't realize the scope of businesses in this industry. GoDaddy is the behemoth. Escrow sells roughly as a third party the same amount as GoDaddy's aftermarket. And then there's everything else. We are the largest goat domain customer at Escrow. I think we represent somewhere around 20, 25% market share. And so that means we're roughly 10% of total domain sales in the aftermarket in a given year. Okay. Maybe it's 5 to 10% in a given year total aftermarket sales. Most of these marketplaces, like Adam.com, you're talking about a fraction of a percent of the domain market. Okay. we, Manny Hilco Digital with Miller, we are the market. We are the market. We set the fucking market. People don't get it. We are the human beings that interact with the market. There is nothing else. We make the market. If you are anything else, you are not the market. I don't know how to get through people. You get it. So I'm not being egotistical here. I'm trying to be a realist. I want people to just zoom the fuck out and understand what is the domain market. There's GoDaddy, and then there's escrow, and then there's expired auctions, which are, you know, smithering of here and there. And then there's two domain brokers, and there's everything else. And that's just what it is. And so all y'all who have an opinion, you take it and shove it where the sun don't shine, because none of your opinions matter, because you don't have a clue, because none of your domain sales matter, because you are not the market. We are.
Look, I'm just going to bring it back to, I'll close out my
I'm exaggerating a little bit, because we were told by the market that they love my rants. So once I heard that people love my rants, I'm going to do more rants.
Oh, good.
But everything I said is roughly true, right? I mean, I'm estimating, I'm doing back of the napkin public math, but everything I'm saying is roughly true.
Well, you know, and I think,
escrow.
And it's based on, time out, Drew. And I got you. But what you're saying is also just based on the limited amount of information that we have. Like, we don't know exactly what certain folks' numbers are. And to the, you know, and I really appreciate, though, because you do have folks like Adam and Spaceship and, you know, that are.
No, but I actually do have a pretty good idea of what folks' numbers are.
But we don't know exactly.
For a variety of reasons, I have a pretty solid idea, actually.
I guess I'm just casting the whole not financial advice, not exact numbers.
I'm not giving financial advice. I'm talking about a market, and I'm discussing the market structure of the domain name market, the domain name aftermarket, not the registry path, but the domain name aftermarket.
Oh, I get it.
And
man.
I think
you're doing it very loudly.
Because people don't listen, so you got to shout.
Yeah. So there's no denying, I think, that, you know, despite the .ai. CCTLD, that, you know, AI as a theme is definitely drawing a lot of the venture capital. It is driving a lot of the sales.
Domain sales. It's selling more .coms than it is .ais. That's the part people don't get.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, we've seen a lot. You know, our report talks about the .ais, and yes, it has, you know, on a graph, it looks great. But we do also see a lot of, you know, a lot of massive, fantastic .coms, a lot of fantastic names. And, you know, when we look, you know, what's driving those deals, a lot of them are AI companies. Like, that's just where the money's going, right? We cannot deny
crypto,
that. So
AI, biotech. These are the three, home services. These are like the three or four categories that are driving domain sales right now. And it's always like that. Every cycle, which is a business cycle, every 4 years, which happens to correspond with the Bitcoin cycle, right? Which lines up exactly. You laugh, and people go, listen. It matters. Why? Because who's the biggest buyer of domain names? The AI market, the crypto market, biotech market, right? And so the business cycle and the Bitcoin cycle, they line up. They literally are congruous. The United States presidential election cycle lines up. It's congruous. So what do you see? 2021, peak domain sales. 2026, peak domain sales, right? We're going to see Q4, Q1, 2026. Are going to be super strong. Just watch. It was the same in 2020. I called it. It happened. 2016 to 2017. Same thing. I'm not a genius. I'm not Nostradamus. It's just a business cycle. And there's a Bitcoin cycle. And when people make a lot of money and we go into that blow off top of the business cycle, because they have to loosen credit, they have to lower rates, they have to print money. Well, that happens to correspond with the Bitcoin cycle. When Bitcoin prices go up and people make a shit ton of money and they're looking for ways to deploy that cash in meaningful ways. Guess what? Many of these people are tech savvy. Many are entrepreneurs. They deploy it into great domain names that they can build businesses on and compound their investments. And so these things matter. I think people get too myopic. I think they zoom in too much. They get too obsessed with trends. And if you just zoom out and you realize that we are on the absolute best investment class on earth It's a freight train. You don't need to be on the bullet train. Just stay on the freaking freight train. Keep shoveling the damn coal, and you will get to the promised land.
Media Options is the industry's leading domain broker specializing in domain acquisitions, high-value domain sales, and domain name consultation. As pioneers and thought leaders on the subject of the domain aftermarket and domain name value, plus through their clear domain acquisition service, Media Options offers startups and established corporations an unparalleled scope of high-value domain options, providing access to domain names and curation technologies not available elsewhere. Media Options believes in the power of a great domain name and is dedicated to helping you obtain yours. Call or email today to put a domain to work for
well,
you.
Well, hey, let me segue now, because one of the things in the report, because what we're talking about demand and some of the things that are moving, you know, that are very active in the market, right, is brandables, right? English words, dictionary words. You guys are now including that as part of the report, talking about the value of English words in domain sales on the platform. And, you know, I think that's pretty awesome. So let's talk about that really quick. So page 5, we've got the mean value for a .com domain that's just an English word is over 250K. Domains containing English words.
Okay, sorry, real quick. What I know it's not in the report, but was there a mean or median value for .ai domain names?
No, I don't have that off the top of my head. But
that would actually be even more meaningful than the total gross sales revenue.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, look, it's probably something, yeah.
You know, because I think from what I'm seeing anecdotally, right, is that you've got oneword.ai's now selling for $100,000 pretty regularly, you know, even 200 and, you know, some of the killer words even more.
They're very seldom. Most of these sales, so let's say, I think Richard from Namecheap, Ricky Ricardo is publishing the best .ai sales, okay? And Rick Rick maybe publishes 3, 5, 10 every couple of days, right? And so if you look at them, he's doing great sales, but the vast majority are 10 to 35 grand.
It's probably data we can pull out. I think it'd be quite interesting. I do believe it's not going to touch the .com scale of 250K. And that's the mean. There's obviously some.
I bet it's 5%. I bet it follows the traditional same pattern of whatever new GTLD or CCTLD is super hot for any given period of time. Generally will achieve roughly 5% median sales price. Mean sales price of a .com. That's basically where it plateaus and then takes a dump. And then, you know, a couple of years later, something else shows up.
Yeah. But to your point, JT, like I think the English word.coms, they're very strong. And I think Drew, you had a hypothesis on, you know, the four letters being a sweet spot. We've definitely seen some very, very promising, very strong names, 7-figure, 8-figure names that are, you know, in that sweet spot, single word, English word.com, boom, massive, right? So I think
definitely. Yeah, I'd love to see you guys break this down even further. I love this. I love that you added the sort of one word, one English word subcategory. I mean, it's very interesting. Very, very interestingly, if you look at the chart here, what do you notice? You notice immediately that what I've just said is spot on when it, at least for a oneword.com domain name. For a oneword.com domain name, we peaked in 2021, right? We had a rise going up into 2021, and then it crashed. And then it's rising up into the end of 2025. It'll probably peak in Q1 2026, and then it'll crash, right? And so it's very interesting to see. I mean, it follows the exact same pattern. I would love to see you guys break it out into like three letter words, 4 letter words, 5 letter word, maybe 6 if you want to. But I think 3, 4, 5 is most useful. I've said a million times, I don't believe in comps. Okay. But I think that there is something to be said about language and syllables. And so, you know, I don't know how, you know, granular you want to get, but like, what about a one syllable versus a two syllable? And I know this may sound unnecessary, but I actually think it is very meaningful. And it'd be very interesting, at least, to see. But my guess is that if you were to look at, over the last decade, a four-letter, single-syllable .com outperforms every other category of domain name. That would be my guess. A four-letter word, single-syllable .com outperforms every other domain category there is. That would be my guess. Maybe two letters, but there's just not enough two-letter.com domain sales to, particularly in any given quarter, to, you know, have a meaningful statistic. But yeah, my hypothesis, just to extrapolate it further from what you mentioned, would be that it's a four-letter, single-syllable.com, one word. And I bet the median sales price on that is double your normal median sale price or more. I bet it's somewhere between $500 and $750 would be my guess.
Well, there's an expert out there, Drew. I think you may be it. You are the market, right?
That's it. We're the market.
As we heard, you couldn't not hear that. But it's all good, you know, but yeah, no, look, I think there's obviously some really, really interesting data points in here. I think it's great. Obviously further sort of parsing this stuff out would be even more interesting. You know, one of the things that I thought, you know, and kind of, you know, not to double back on the .ais, but you know, you got the top five CCTLDs. I think that's kind of cool. There were a handful of .gg sales. There were $700,000+ of .gg sales. There were almost $600,000 of .io sales. There were $500,000 worth of .co sales. I think it's cool that at least still shows that, yes, while a small fraction compared to KingCom, it's still, you know, like there's still some meaningful deals happening in those, you know, in those spaces with those CCTLDs, which I think is cool. So,
yeah, that's right. I mean, like Drew's mentioned before, you know, training wheels. I do think a lot of these are, you know, smaller scale, you know, people trying things out. And then there's a portion which are obviously, you know, localized, where, you know, in particular markets, like, you know, .nl for Netherlands, for example, you know, these, we see a few of those every once in a while.
Nobody's doing a domain hack on .nl.
Oh, just because there are no words that end in NL?
Yeah, not in the English language, at least.
Yeah, no, that's that's like one of those trying to figure out what rhymes with orange, you know, type of things. You know, it's limited. Although Eminem could probably, I think he can rhyme about 50 different words on orange. Did, yeah. But yeah, no. So I think it's all good, man. And that piece, the, you know, top five CCTLDs effectively closes out the report. And you know, so a lot of good stuff in there. I think people definitely go ahead and check it out. And we've got a few minutes left on the show, so what I'd like to do is actually pivot. Let's talk a little bit about escrow in general. You know, I know you're on the product side, so that's the stuff that you get extra passionate about, right? I mean, you know, I know the market and the trends are interesting enough, but I know that, you know, making things work and, you know, features and things like that. So let's talk about that. What do we got? What are we excited about over there in these upcoming months and then some?
Yeah, no. So look, there's always a lot going on, and I might just sort of start with a bit of a boring fact, and that is, you know, ultimately, escrow is here to be a trusted party and be able to protect, you know, your transactions for many, many years to come. And to do that, we need just a very stable ship at its core. And fundamental to all of that is a lot of our licensing, a lot of the boring stuff around compliance and making sure, you know, we're regulated in all the correct ways. And that comes with a cost, right? We have to constantly be audited. We're constantly having to respond to things and make sure we're upping our game in terms of how we manage everything financial, everything data, you know, everything security. So there's just going to call out that, you know, a lot of time is spent, serious time, just to make sure that we have that underlying foundation correct for the industry, so that your transactions, when you come to us, you know, are able to be fully secured and safe. But in terms of really exciting things, you know, Drew and I have spoken about you know, where DNH can head. And that really excites me. So I know, Drew, you're probably waiting for, you know, something to come out. But look, behind the curtain, we are working on a lot of fundamental things to put all the building blocks there. So I'm very excited. So for
I want to give a shout out one more time to our boy, Ricardo Raccoon, over a spaceship, because he actually just dropped this week, a new LTO product, a lease to own product. And he made the bold move, which I think is great, to allow for super long-term LTO deals. And I think that is probably the future. Like, until we have significantly more financing available, which I think, unfortunately, is going to take just a lot of time for banks and, you know, traditional financiers to understand how to value a domain, which is ultimately going to be the hurdle to, you know, backstopping it and underwriting it. So until then, I think that these long-term LTO deals are really the right way. And I think that ultimately, as an asset owner, particularly given the macro economic, terrible fiscal situation that the entire world finds itself in, I mean, you know, the U.S., we'll see what happens. You know, I think this Supreme Court case with Trump and his tariffs is going to have a big impact. France about to fail. Germany's about to fail. Italy's about to fail. You know, Australia's in trouble. You know, China's in trouble. Like, Canada's in major trouble. Like, the whole world is suffering from the same more or less problems. They're addressing it in different ways, but they're all suffering from the same problem. And so, you know, in that world, owning assets is great. And if you can get a long-term cash flow from these assets as opposed to, you know, selling them, especially if there is no immediate cash buyer at, you know, full value. I think we are sitting on a gold mine. I think that the domains become even more attractive if we can start getting people into, okay, sure, go ahead. You can lease this thing for the next decade with an option to buy. You can lease this thing for the next 20 years with an option to buy. We just signed a new client for a domain sale to represent them to sell their domain. It's a very old series of old domains. And I was chatting with him on the phone and, you know, he was a super OG, guy. I would call him a domain investor. That wasn't his focus. He didn't know he was a domain investor, but he was buying domain names with the intent of, you know, ultimately selling them. And, this was in the very early 90s, and he didn't get a ton of domains, but he got enough. And he sold a lot of them to big corporations very early on, where price was basically just, you know, lick your finger and see which way the wind blows. And he did well selling most of them, but he had one that was, you know, maybe had a little legal hair on it. I don't know the details because he wasn't able, because of an NDA, he wasn't able to give me the details. But what I do know is that this domain, which I don't even know what domain it was, but that domain, he entered, and this is back again in the 90s, he entered into a long-term lease option agreement, which, you know, at that time probably didn't exist. There was nobody that was doing domain leases at that time, right? And so that domain lease is still paying him today, and the option to buy will come available to the company in 2 years. And, you know, I was doing the math on that. It's like, wow, you know, it's a 30-year lease, signed in the 90s. And that company, you know, will only really have realized how valuable that domain is by now. And he'll finally be able to extract that value. But for the last 30 years, he's been paid. And so I personally see that as the future for my domains. Like, I love that idea. Kevin Ham, arguably the smartest person in our business, that has come through our business, one of at least the smartest people. That's all he does with his venture.com. It's long-term leases, and the only way he's selling is if somebody makes an offer that he really can't refuse. And so, anyways, it's a very long-winded way of saying I'm very excited about what should be coming with your domain holding product. I'd love to see a ton more flexibility from it. And I like what Spaceship dropped this week with these long term. You guys are currently limited to 5 years. I know that you can be flexible on, you know, manually, but I really think the more we can standardize it, that sure, I'd love to have it 2 years or 3 years or five, right? But it's not always an option. And increasingly, you know, you're going to have companies that have very little capital up front, but huge potential trajectories down the line. And so, you know, these LTO deals make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, look, I'm very excited about the space, Drew, and I'm all about building in that flexibility. So, you know, we are definitely working on many of those things. And I just want to make a point around, I guess, you know, the long-term holdings. The way I see it is, you know, if you're going to hold your valued asset for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, let's say, you want to hold it in a place that you know will be around in that in that length of time. And I think that's an area that, you know, again, I go back to, you know, what does escrow stand for? What do we excel at? You know, we want to be here. You know, we've set ourselves up to be the long term. We're licensed. We don't want to be here, you know, in the short term at all. Like, we want to be the player that, you know, is able to support these long deals. So sure of it is, I'm probably as excited as you are, because I think this is great for the industry. Mm-hmm. So I think the overall D&H, I want to give a lot of love. So a couple of other areas, a little bit smaller, but I think, you know, incremental improvement, things that we can, you know, give to our customers as ways to, you know, have better service.
Except crypto?
Except crypto. Look.
Just except crypto, man. That, you know, look, super flexible on these domain holding transactions and the ability to allow people to pay crypto or be paid out in crypto or both. Those are really the only two things that I think move the needle in really big ways. Everything else, again, marginal.
Yeah, look, this crypto is definitely not discounted. It's something we stare hard at. It is.
And if Matt was smart, which I know he is, he just doesn't use his brain that often, but he is smart and he should just accept crypto. He should, whatever fees he takes in crypto, he should keep, put on his balance sheet. And as a public company, he should use that capacity to then start increasing that and watch his stock finally soar.
Yeah.
I'll even be a shareholder if he does that.
Look, Nick, I think crypto has a lot of legs, but it does require some work to have a work through in a way that sort of, you know, it's compliant for what we do. It's definitely something I'm
integrated with Stripe now, right? You've integrated with Stripe, right?
Yes, we do have Stripe integration, and I'm aware
that Stripe accepts crypto. I mean, this is an internal policy decision. This has very little to do with anything mechanical on your side. You really don't need to do much other than change your terms of service. That's it. Maybe some corporate documents, maybe notify some regulators. Regulators are on your side now.
Maybe we're closer than we think, Drew. You've inspired me to peel the paper back again and you know, see what it holds. But I think I do agree. Crypto is, you know, a great avenue. Maybe some things that are sort of closer to the surface for us is you know, something as simple as real time payments in the US. So I live in Australia. I'd say most consumers in Australia are used to paying everything in real time. Like, nothing doesn't happen in real time payments in Australia. So it sort of bewilders me a little bit that, in the US, you've got, you know, multiple rails and ways to pay, but they still take, you know, a day or two, or depending on how you do it, like 3 days, 4 days. Like, it just boggles my mind. So I'm very keen just to, like, try to eliminate that if I can, because there are payment options now in the US to do this. So, like, it's just a matter of getting this up and running. So that's something I'm working on. And you know, things like convenience features for brokers like yourself, or, you know, regular users of escrow, where perhaps, you know, your money can stay on the platform if you're in between deals and you need to, you know, you're buying something, you're selling something, and you don't need to move the money in and out all the time. For your convenience, you know, you should be able to use the proceeds to buy another domain, for example. So things like that, where it's all about giving convenience to our loyal customers and our valued customers and improving our D&H product. I think they're probably the really big exciting things that I'm looking forward to. Perhaps even, you know, crypto at some point as well, Drew. I'm equally as excited as you. Like, I'm all about the newer, better ways of doing things. But sometimes it does take a bit of time.
Yeah. No, but I, and crypto pieces.
Matt's got two problems. One, he's a gold bug, which I don't fault him for. I love gold myself. Okay. But he's got gold stuck in his nose. And then two is, you know, he literally has a PhD in cryptography or a master's at least. I don't remember. And I think he's sour because he missed the Bitcoin train. I remember him in 2015, 14. Telling me, no, you don't get it. You don't understand this, the Bitcoin thing. It's a nothing. And, you know, here we are, 100,000 plus Bitcoin, and he still won't accept Bitcoin payments. And he's losing tens of millions of dollars just in our business a year, just because he can't accept payments.
So, yeah, it's interesting. And, you know, especially if you've got the Stripe integration and they already do it. So then ultimately, you guys aren't even really accepting it. You're just working through your
intermediary. It's just a decision. So. It's just a math decision. That's why I'm being mean, because I want to try and, you know.
Yeah. Hey, look.
It's like, you know, you'd be amazed at what people do if you put your knuckles in their ribs.
Anyway, with that, speaking of putting knuckles in ribs, I'll quiet you down a little bit, but the, you know, just for the purpose of being able to wrap this show up. But no, look, August, I think it's great, man. I think it's very important. Obviously, the things you're doing from convenience, efficiency, make the platform better, make it more secure, you know, with an eye on the long term, because I do think the LTO stuff, you know, it's almost like putting any kind of cap on it, right? If you've got it's almost like rent, right? We talk about domains all the time being digital real estate. So it's really this idea that, you know, it's just like some people will rent perpetually because that's just how they roll. And, you know, they don't want to buy something or they can't buy something. So, you know, this, you know, puts people in that penthouse of digital real estate, you know, a fantastic domain at, you know, in a way that they can afford it and commit. So, you know, the timelines of those, although 5 years is a long time, so much, you know, I mean, think about where we were 5 years ago versus now. Right. And, you know, but yeah, but all that stuff is good stuff. And I just think most importantly, just kind of the sense I get in talking with you offline and on the show here, it's like, you know, the view of like, all right, like, let me really get in the weeds, understand how this works, understand how our customers use the product. How can we make those improvements that really make it better for folks on both, you know, all three sides, the buy side, the sell side, the brokerage side, you know, it all matters. So, yeah, man, all good stuff. And we're looking forward to seeing it all take place and looking forward to meeting you in person at NamesCon in November in Miami, along with everybody else that's listening. So, all right, well, let's do a quick around the horn because we're pretty much out of time. But, Drew, you have anything else that you haven't mentioned or screamed about that you would like to put out there in the universe?
No. I you know, I you know, another thing I find very funny in the domain industry is really the whole topic of escrow itself. And, you know, you have all these people that are really upset with escrow, and I get very upset with escrow too. August, you know, but it is far and away the most secure and the best platform for conducting a domain name sale. Period. Full stop. End of story. There's no alternative. When you balance the risks and the rewards, you balance the ease of use, you balance the customer experience. There's no comparison. I mean, it's so anyways, we are grateful to escrow.com and to you. I you know, would love to see you guys be deploying some new products, new services, and, you know, upgrades more rapidly. I still fail to see why you can't do it more rapidly, but we are it's, you know, we're happy to have you guys as our partners, and we're very proud of that relationship and you know, the number of years that we've been working closely together is a testament to what I'm saying.
I don't know. And then August, on you.
Yeah, mate, like, I don't know how I follow that.
Just
up,
give me what I want, man. Give me what I want. We'll make it better.
No, yeah, I look, cover a lot of ground. Yeah,
I just think you know, well, I'll just round it out again to how I started. I guess I'm just honored to be, you know, part of this big family. You know, I think it's I really sense that you guys take domain names very seriously. I take it very seriously. We all have a good laugh, And I open my doors to anyone in the industry who wants to give escrow feedback.
Rookie mistake you just made. Rookie mistake.
Well, look, you know, Matt threw his email out last time. So, like, I'm also not shy to talk to anyone about our product and how we could be better. And even if it's just to say hello. So,
100%. I think that's important. Being available and accountable, I mean, is key, especially when you're in the role that you're in. So, no, I think it's great, man. And so, everybody, that is an open invitation to holler at your boy August, especially if you see him in person at NamesCon. Maybe buy him a drink first and then go ahead and just go off on all of the things and the improvements and the issues and all that stuff. But yeah, man, well, listen, thank you so much for being on the show. Drew, thank you so much for being on the show and sharing your opinion. I know it was tough to get that out of you. To the audience, thank you guys all for tuning in. I say it on every show, without you, there is no us. So we appreciate everybody for tuning in. And and definitely make sure you guys check out the Domain Investment Index report at escrow.com. Again, we've got the link in the show notes, so definitely check that out. And we'll all just keep it moving and do what we do. We will otherwise see everybody here next time on Domain Sherpa, where all roads lead to domains. Peace out, everybody. See y'all soon.
See you guys.